The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the mid-season edition, the bye edition. We've been freshened up extraordinarily well by our trainers and looking forward to the second half of the season. 8-4 Cats are kingy there. Well, if you're using a racing parlance, they're poised to pounce.
Yeah, they're one out, one back, aren't they?
Teddy sort of Dembler.
Yeah, because everybody sort of above them dropped some games, so they're now all 10-3 with Melbourne losing to Collingwood. So if the Cats can beat the Eagles on Saturday, which you'd expect they'll do, they go to 9-4, and they're only a game behind. Poised to pounce is probably the right phrase, especially when they're going to get some talent back in the second half of the season. The only concern injury-wise really of note is Brandon Parfitt with that broken hand that he picked up against the Doggies. But outside of that, they'll start to roll a few back in. Dangerfield and Holmes are a couple of obvious ones that they get back. The big man situation gets a little bit more stable in terms of Segler being available as if they need to use him in the second half of the year. They're fairly healthy after, I reckon they've done well actually in the end, the Cats, Benny, to be 8-4 and negotiate the injuries that they've had and the lack of depth that they've had. Like, they've rolled out a couple of times in the VFL with only two or three AFL-listed players. So that means blokes aren't playing footy. And, I reckon 8-4, they'll cop that. And if they can be 9-4 once this the fixture and the ladder balances up and everybody's played 13 games, is not a bad position to be in, knowing they've got five of their last eight at GMHBA.
So we've got Dangerfield, Jack Henry.
Holmes.
Yeah, Holmes. Don't know. Yeah,
Holmes. Holmes comes back into that 22.
He'd need a week or two on the twos.
Potentially, Dangerfield and Henry don't.
No, well, Dangerfield won't play twos. I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean Henry. You could argue, one week in the twos wouldn't hurt him.
No. And same with Holmes.
Because Henry missed out of the preseason as well.
He did, yeah. He missed most of it from basically after Christmas.
And then he only played a few games and then got injured. So I wouldn't. Yep. I mean, look, he's certainly not a twos player. I'm not suggesting that, but I wouldn't have thought it was the worst thing in the world if he did play one twos game.
No, well, especially with the way the backline is actually functioning at the moment.
No, that's right. And Holmes, I think it wouldn't be worse if he played two or three games in the twos. To be honest with you, yep. I just worry you. I know it sounds good, it just doesn't. Often doesn't work out on paper when you say all these blokes are coming back. Sometimes that upsets the apple cart.
Well, the Cats are aware of that. Chris Scott did admit that before the break. He said, look, we've got blokes to come back. It's how we manage them back into the team without upsetting what we're currently doing is going to be the challenge. And
I've got a question. Yeah, I agree. And I just think oh, Dangerfield back. Oh, just suddenly we're going to be five goals better than we were. And Henry's back. And, it doesn't. Doesn't work like that.
No, and the Cats aren't saying that.
I've got a question without noticing. What's Geelong's record with and without Patrick Dangerfield this year?
Oh, no, good question. What's he played? About six, seven?
So Dangerfield this season has played in eight games. Geelong are 5-3.
Yep. So without him, they are 3-1. So they're running at about 65% with and about and at 75% without. That's negligible. Don't read too much into that.
What, they're winning a lot more when he's not there.
No, they're 3-1 as opposed to 5-3. You extrapolate 3-1 out and it becomes 6-2. So the difference is only one win, one loss.
Yeah. I'd love to know what the clearance numbers are when that period and how much the opposition score from clearances and all those sorts of things too. So factor those in because you've got to love your data. It's been drummed into me, Tom, to love my data.
Right. So, Tom, I'd love to know what the numbers are since Tom Atkins went into the Geelong midfield.
Yeah, well, the needle might be going the other way.
Yes.
Does your needle go the other way?
I'll needle you if you're not careful.
The other news I saw, Kingy, hovered across my desk.
Yes,
is that Sam Simpson is getting or looking like he might be making a return to VFL footy.
Yeah, but don't know whether it'll be this week or not, but he won't be too far away, I don't think, which is good signs. The big question is can he stay out of trouble, I suspect, because if he cops another knock, that's going to obviously send him... set him back, but he can play. We know he can play. The what we've seen of him, I know it's been minimal over the last 4 or 5 years, but what we have seen, like they showed ultimate faith in him in and ironically they dropped Tommy Atkins in the 2020 finals and brought Sam in after that Port Adelaide qualifying final loss. So he'll just add to their depth, Benny, and give them another option. I'm sure as the Cats work their way through the second half of the season, they'll look at some combinations. You know, we suspect they're playing finals from here. It's where they how high they can climb. Some phantom ladders and predictors and the like, Ben, have got your
Cats on top.
Got them winning out. Settle down.
Yeah, that's
not ideal. Like at Geelong's best record is 16-6, I reckon, which gets you top four. But they could easily finish 13-9 and be finding themselves in an elimination final too.
Yeah, and they'd be very disappointed from where they are now if that happened.
To be 13-9.
Yeah.
Which means they've gone 5-5 to finish.
I would have thought they'd be disappointed with that.
Yeah.
What have they got? North, West Coast twice.
Yep.
There's three wins.
Yep.
Who else have they got?
They got Richmond at the G. That's not easy.
Yeah, that's a good game.
They got Melbourne at home.
That's a good game.
They got Carlton.
Good game.
Gold Coast on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, good game.
So that's round 22. That might be the Gold Coast actually playing for a spot in the bottom half of the eight.
They're all 50-50 games. Yeah,
Port Adelaide in Adelaide.
Yeah, well, that's not easy.
No, so I don't... I saw that fandom ladder done by one of the newspapers and gone...
If Geelong went out from here, Kingy,
yep.
There'll be some nudity in town.
Right. Whereabouts?
Somewhere where there's nudity's allowed.
Which is not many.
Just in case run foul of the law.
Yeah,
there's no way known Geelong are going to win out.
No.
I mean, do you think 3 weeks ago the Melbourne, a lot of people were saying that even non-Melbourne fans would might as well just hand the flag of the Demons.
Yep.
And I reckon I might have been one of them.
Yes.
Three losses in a row. And I watched that game yesterday and, they're just suddenly, for whatever reason... And don't tell me it's just because one player's not playing Stephen May. They're just not playing the same sort of footy. They can't score.
Yeah, they're just going at the moment, the D's.
They are. I mean, I thought they would win yesterday. I thought they'd make a bit of a statement on the back of two losses and what happened during the week and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they tried to make a statement.
Tom McDonald's the other one they missed too. There were some numbers floating around today about Melbourne's record with and without Tom McDonald, and they are an infinitely better attacking team with him in the side, which is interesting.
I reckon that'd be like saying that, you know, Pearl Jam aren't the same band because their backup dancers aren't there. Like, just I can't have Tom McDonald being your difference maker.
No, it didn't seem he was a difference maker, but I think it in the way they structure in their forward line. He has a role to play he plays better. So his replacement yesterday was Mitch Brown.
Oh, wow. I saw yesterday why Geelong, and I still shake my head, how Geelong ever drafted that bloke, pick 15.
Yeah. It's never worked out well.
He's not good enough.
Well, he's hung on a lot longer than...
He's hung on longer than that man in the snow. Remember that man in the snow that had to cut his hand off?
Yes.
He was... Imagine doing that. That would be, you're in dire straits if you're contemplating that, even doing it. But yeah, look, he has hung on, but he just isn't good enough. Yesterday he was out of his depth. He offered absolutely nothing yesterday.
Hard though when you've barely played an AFL game recently and you're brought into that sort of cauldron.
Well, but he's an experienced player. He's not a two gamer.
No.
He's been around for 1,000 years. You've got to make the most of those opportunities. Clearly, he was ready and fit and firing, and he comes in, and he's like he's like a puff of smoke. He was the old ashtray on the motorbike.
Benny, the Eagles this week, are they a concern for the Cats? Like, is there a worry that...
Oh, they're a concern if you go over there and just think you're going to roll over and win. But if Geelong play with any sort of intensity that they have in recent weeks, they'll take care of the West Coast. But you just don't want The one thing you don't want is to go over there thinking, oh, we got this in the bag. Suddenly it's four goals down at quarter time and the crowd's off their plastic. You don't want that. But if Geelong play to their, I'd say, 90 to 95% of their capacity and they're reasonably consistent, then I think that they'll be, well, they should win, shouldn't they?
Yeah, you would have thought.
And West Coast, what's happened to West Coast?
No.
Did they do their preseason in the pub? they're unable to run out of game.
No, they've had some issues. We're hoping to get Matty Knights on pregame. Been interesting to have a chat with him. All right, let's move on. Some questions off the KFC Twitter. Rexy Allen, where is Radaglia at short/long term? Sixth season, not playing due to injury, form subpar prior to injury. Shannon Neal developing in the same position, ruck tall forward. Does Sav return via AFL or VFL?
Oh, 100%. He's in no man's land, unfortunately. His footy career at the moment is, it's hanging by a thread, I would have thought. He's really going nowhere. When he was playing, he wasn't offering much of main tail. We've spoken about him quite a lot. I just think that there's no real role for him. They're trying to find one, and then that didn't work. And I think his last option is to maybe have a crack in defence. But, his future is absolutely up in the air.
Medicus, with Parfitt now out for a month or more, who do you think replaces him? If it's Dangerfield, I'm not convinced.
I don't disagree with that. I just, Dangerfield's one of those players that has license to do sort of whatever he likes to a degree, and there's players like that. I'm sure Dustin Martin's probably like that, maybe even Fife to a degree. But when he's not having the offensive output that he once was, then that can become a real liability doing that.
Yeah.
So he's got to get fit and find a way. But if he comes, when he comes back into the team, you'd like to see him play a team role, not just an all-out attack role, because I just think that Geelong have got a nice little mix going at the moment. And that's, probably just coincidence that he's not in it. But when you come back in, you come back in and play within the structure of what's been happening. You don't just go and do your own thing. So I think that's the challenge ahead, because right now, what are we seeing? Probably the last 18 months, he's just not the offensive player that he was.
Yeah. Next question was to do with Zach Tui playing a great last quarter after receiving his Liverpool kiss. Maybe Joel should headbutt Zach pre-game because Joel plays and looks better with a bandaged head. All right, that's the questions off the KFC Twitter. Now let's head for Big Footy and what we've got on there. Give me 1 second, Benny, just changing screens. Not a huge amount this week, but we've got a few little things.
Bit of a lull, King.
Yeah, a bit of a lull.
Mid-season lull. Well, people are just their vinyl couches.
Cats. Have noticed over a number of years that the Cats seem to be one of the worst teams in the comp at getting around their teammates after having just kicked a goal. Reckon there's anything in this at all, or do you think it's ever spoken about internally?
Well, it's not something I've ever noticed, to be honest with you. They get around each other, don't they?
Yeah, they're not probably the yahooing. Some teams, I suppose the Geelong way over the last 15 years has been very clinical about how they go about things, so they don't get too caught up in the emotion of a goal and stuff like that. Jeremy Cameron loves a goal, and I think his teammates love it when he kicks one, but Geelong are not... Grime Myers does love a goal. He's kicked a lot this year. Geelong aren't over-celebrators of goals. There's some clubs that seem to celebrate every goal like they've scored the World Cup winner, so... maybe why people get the perception that Geelong maybe don't.
Yeah, and I don't know that that has any correlation between how your team goes. I mean, I noticed that Sydney seemed to like to celebrate a bit.
Yep.
Maybe I don't know. Look, it's not something I've ever noticed, but maybe there's sort of such a disparity in the Geelong team with the ages. You know, that there's a larger group that are older and a smaller group that are younger. Not a lot of whole lot in between.
Yeah, and a lot of players who are new to the club in the last three or four years, especially in that older bracket.
Yeah, and that's not to say, maybe they're not the tightest group. It's not to say they don't like each other, but they're not the tightest group off the field.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they can't still play good footy together.
Yeah. But they got blokes at different stages of their life.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, where, you know, a lot of kids, you know, so you think Dangerfield, Hawkins, Duncan, Tui, Smith, Stanley, Higgins, all got multiple
Toby
kids.
Conway.
I don't think Toby Conway's got any children, Benny.
He hasn't sighed one yet.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, he's feeling a bit left out, then maybe that's why they don't get along.
Oh, right. We move on. Catch of the future. Actually said they've been thinking about it. Would love to see their internal KPIs, but I don't think they're judged heavily on goals kicked, and I think the playing group buys into that. Potentially might be another reason. Fox Dog 50, boys, last week you mentioned about Tanner Bruin being a good get for Geelong. Been on a few on the Cats board mentioned to him. Have you heard any talk? Oh, as in the Cats big footy board. Have you heard any talk that we're trying to lure him to Geelong? What trade in return would get the job to get him? My understanding is that he's quite happy at GWS.
Yeah, I don't know anything about his happiness levels. I think that he'd be one that if you were going to go for a player that's got, you know, served a two-year apprenticeship, is 2 years by the end of this year, who I think has plenty of upside. I've watched him play. I think he's going to be a very good player.
Yep.
He's one that I would have a crack at, but I have absolutely no idea whether there's any interest one way or the other. But I just don't know what the Cats to be going getting 28, 29-year-olds. I think they need to – happy for them to get used players or recycled players, but maybe on the younger side of it, under 24. And what would Bruin be, 20?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Yeah. He's one that'd be right in the wheelhouse where somebody's put the 2 years into him. But you're going to have to give up a fair bit to get him.
Yeah, he's a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, so – yeah, that's the – but I don't know any – I don't have any information one way or the other.
Yep. Tom Gillett, would he be any chance of making it as an AFL player? So he's the youngster from Grovedale who's on the VFL list. He's a top-age NAB League player, so he's 19. There is some interest. I can't answer that question definitively. I can't say no, he won't, but I can't say yes, he can. And I know that's a very splinters on the backside answer. I just don't know. He just hasn't played enough football against men at a high level yet. He won the GFL Geelong League goal kicking last year, but he hasn't played any higher than under-19 NAB League or under-18 NAB League as a 19-year-old. So until we see him at VFL level, very much jury out on that. So Fox Dog 50, that's the best I can do. Call to Daddy, why is Ocean Mullen still listed as a player on the Geelong Footy Club website? Do you think there's a chance he'll come at some stage even after this season possibly? My understanding is Geelong are keen to still get him and aren't completely cutting the cord there. So I think those discussions will be ongoing. But
what's his first name?
Ocean or Oishin. O-I-S-I-N.
Billy?
I don't know.
Surely his nickname would have to be Billy.
You are an idiot.
No, it would have to be. What's his surname?
Mullen.
Oh, yeah. You either call him Billy or Larry.
Oh, Larry Mullen, as in the drummer from U2.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Daz Broncos, gents, just back from New York, delivering the Minister and War and Finance her late birthday present. Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden just hits different seeing him there. 80th consecutive show at the Garden, 126th there in total, still going strong. Highly recommend if that's your thing. Good 2.5 hours of hits. Thank you, Daz Broncos. I'll be in
here. Daz is taking the piss, isn't he?
He is a little bit.
Billy Joel. Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
I saw the Cosmic Psychos at the Geelong West Town Hall.
Gibbs final seems to be Cats things of the thing of the last decade, not wanting to get too far ahead of ourselves. What wins do you think we need to make top four? Is it obtainable? After last year's PF loss, is making top four considered a win if it happens, or does the ledge need to be pushed further than a semi-final berth to make it a successful season, giving most to saying the Cats, we can't win it this year? The run home, 8-4 now. He's guessing 14-8. 15 wins will guarantee you top four. 14 might sneak you in.
Yeah, it's a really hard one to quantify where Geelong finishes and whether that could be considered successful or not. I mean, you know, somebody made the point on K-Rock Footy a few weeks ago that, you know, you go to the footy and your team's a really good chance of winning every week, and they don't win every week, but no team does. But they win at, what, 70-odd percent? Yeah, I don't know. But in saying that, then if they were, let's say they finished top four, you know, only progress to a prelim and then get beaten, is that a successful year? Probably. Is it becoming, you know, another more of the same year where they're relevant, but then at some point in the finals they're a bit irrelevant?
Mm.
You know, there can be instability within your stability. So, you know, I don't know. It's really hard. It's very hard to be critical of a team that's, you know, headed to all, we're talking about top four. I just wonder whether it, yeah. I've said this a thousand times. All the premiership teams of recent times have all been underpinned by really high draft picks.
Yep. Geelong are not full of them. Cat to the future, friends. Cooper Stevens, on paper, he had a 9 disposal outing against the Dogs. Reviewing his footage on the AFL app, though, every time he was involved, he made things happen. Playing only 50% game time to me sounds concerning. Is there a fitness concern? Is he carrying an injury? Is he just new to footy and working things out? I'll take you back to 2007 when a bloke called Selwood was hung out on the wing for most of the year. He was on and off the bench. They used the bench to great effect, the Cats. They are just playing a very conservative game with Cooper Stevens. They know he can play, and I think we know he can play as well, but they're just working him into footy, and not, he's had issues with the body. He came in with an issue with a leg complaint from his top age, under 18 year. Obviously, the last 2 years, he hasn't had a run at it because of the situation with COVID. And I think it's just, well, whatever games they get into him this year, and if he can jag a final or two at the end of the year, I think that's a win for Cooper Stevens if he stays injury free.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I was talking to somebody and they're not involved with the football club, but they have a voice that you listen to. They're not
respect.
A dummy. Yeah. Like I said, I want to stress they had nothing to do with, they have nothing to do with the Geelong Footy Club officially.
Yep.
They were not rating Cooper Stevens.
Yeah, right.
Just doubted his ability to go on with it. Said he doesn't. They said, name me a trick he's got. He's not quick. Doesn't appear to be a goal kicker. He's hard at the ball, yes. So anyway, I didn't say one way or the other. I'm not going to suggest that myself. But somebody who, you know, I just thought it was a bit left field. I think Geelong fans have been a little bit up and about him. And have, you know, thought, oh yeah, this kid's going to be a really good player. And I just, and he, this, I brought this, his name up just out of the blue, talking about some Geelong players.
Yep.
And just said, yeah, look, I can't see it myself. So, right. So that was just another take. I think too, probably the way he plays, he's pretty hard at it.
Yep.
Gets knocked around a little bit. So, probably trying to ease him in that way. His body's probably still coping with that ferocity of AFL level. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a bit cautious within the game times that he plays and the minutes that he plays. And, I'll watch now because I don't know that there is a trick there. I don't know what he's won, what he's. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick who doesn't, at this stage, doesn't appear to have a trick. So, we'll have to just watch his development. He might just become a really hardened sort of player, but we've seen a lot of players like that, like who are reasonable football, like Dom Tyson, just, you know, he's out of AFL footy now. Luke Dunstan from St Kilda got moved out, played that similar role to Cooper Stevens.
Yep.
Yeah, but they don't have, yeah. So anyway, look, certainly not bagging the kid at all. I think he's, I quite like what I see. And I said previously, I was surprised how hard at it he is because I haven't seen him play a lot. But geez, he has a crack, so you couldn't question that. But you'd like to see, maybe he might just become a really, really good clearance player because I think that's probably the most likely one would that he's going to have.
Yep. Howler 41, if you're doing a mid-season review, you'd be very happy with the improvement in Zach Guthrie and Tom Atkins. Well, Tom Atkins' game's gone to a different level since he went into the midfield, Benny.
Yeah, been really good. Defensive midfielder. And I think he even suggested that on K-Rock Footy, that was his go, that's why they got him into the midfield, to provide a bit of stiffness going the other way, Kingy.
Yes.
And that's my point about Dangerfield coming in. He's the polar opposite to that. So you've got to find it. And Brandon Parfitt is probably somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
So losing him, it'll create a different dynamic in the midfield.
You'd also be over the moon with the impact of De Koning and Tyson Stengel.
Maybe nude. Like, I mean, Stengel is probably not a bigger surprise given he's 23 and has played at two clubs and knows the AFL system and had some experience coming in. I don't think anybody would have projected that, you know, if he stays on current trajectory, he could be easily kicking 35 to 40 goals.
Yeah, well, if you go, well, he's going at two a game, Benny, so that would actually get him to mid 40s and then throw a final. If he had a 50 goal year, if he got to play a couple of finals, that is a fantastic result as a small forward.
Yeah, nobody would have seen that coming.
No.
They would have said maybe 30. 25 to 30. But yeah, look, he's been an absolute fine. And De Koning, I don't think I've seen a player that's 204 centimetres come in their first season of AFL footy. And when I say first season, it's not his...
first full season.
First senior year.
Yeah.
And play like he has. And what that's done has then made me think, well, okay, is Mark Blitzer probably is our best ruckman.
Yep.
Yet Reece Stanley, he played like Gary Dempsey against St Kilda. Against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, he was outstanding. That was nearly Reece Stanley's best game for Geelong.
But you could see visibly his effort.
Yep.
He was visibly, his effort and intensity was absolutely extraordinary. So you sort of scratch your head, well, where's that every week? And I know it's probably difficult to replicate it every week, but his bad can be so far removed from that. That it's hard to believe it would be the same player. I reckon it was the first game, well, not the first game, but one of the few games where I could see it was he and Selwood who helped turn the tide for the Cats.
Yep.
In that game in the third quarter.
Yep.
When Geelong were getting monstered and they were looking like they were staring down the barrel, Selwood lifted and Stanley lifted. And he visibly lifted just to the naked eye. I'd love to see him take that now and he's probably not going to be able to replicate that every week. But if he can get it to within 80% of it and be a consistent player like that, then he probably is Geelong's best ruckman. But if he drops back to that five-possession game where you don't even notice him, he's getting outbodied by blokes for 135 centimetres, then Blitzer quickly becomes your best defender because with decoding, they can actually now move Blitzer up the field and not get exposed in the back half.
Yep. All right. One of his concerns... disappointing negatives is Tom Hawkins should take more shots at goal. He's always been like that through his career. Tom Hawkins would have, I don't know, he might have 800, 850 goals for the ones he's given off where he's been unselfish in his career.
Oh, yeah, he's been, that's just the way he plays. I don't think he tried to get Shannon Neal a goal in that game, Shannon Neal's first game, and he missed him with the pass. I wouldn't be... wouldn't be knocking him for that. That's just the way he plays, and he gets it right more often than not. I think if it's a big game, the bigger the stakes, the more likely he is to go back and have a set shot.
Yep.
If it's a game where maybe they're on top or, you know, he feels like a teammate needs a bit of love, he might try and force the ball to them a little bit to a degree.
Yep.
But I reckon if we're playing in a final and he marks at 45 out most times, he's then thinking, yeah, okay, big stage, I'll go back and have a shot.
All right. Also have concerns with Dangerfield. Played like the Paddy of old in round one, but there's a gap growing now between his best and not so best. Hopefully the benefits of a mid-season rest will be a fully fit and firing Danger and a midfield that has other options whilst he was out.
Yep. Be interesting to see. Be a storyline. The first time in his career, probably there's maybe a few question marks over his capacity to be of an enormous benefit to the team, where he's always just seen him as that. Now there's some doubts, doubts from the outside. I'm sure there's no doubts in his own mind, but he's got to go out and do it. So it'll be interesting to see what the break has done for him and how he performs. Is he definitely coming back this week?
No, there's no definite about it. No, we haven't had that confirmed.
So they may not take him to Perth and bring him back the week later.
Potentially.
Would you think that would be the most sensible thing to do?
That would be sensible, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon you're right too. So maybe we don't see him this week. We have to wait another week.
Any update on James Willis? Feel like he's a forgotten man from last year's draft. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he hasn't played a VFL game yet. No, I don't think he has. I'm not sure where James Willis is at. He and Cooper White are both out at the moment and neither are listed on the AFL injury list. I know White had some groin issues. Willis, I'm not absolutely certain what the concern was. So I'll do some digging on that one, Howler 41, and report back. back to you on that. So, but yeah, no, the Cats have got a few lined up for a test ahead of this week, according to the AFL injury list. So the AFL injury list saying Dangerfield test, Henry test, Higgins test, Holmes test, Kroger test, Sapatolis a test. He'll probably play some VFL at some stage. And you'd think that Tommy Stewart will be right after the concussion that he had. If everything's gone to plan, he'll be right to take on the Eagles. See you Saturday.
Righty, I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.